Book of John and chapter 14. The book of John and chapter 14. That one lady said to me one night, she said, "Dr. Williams, do you believe God appreciates humor?" And I said, "Well, it would be hard for me to believe a God that made monkeys and a God that made parrots and the God that made certain other creatures that are real funny doesn't have a little bit of humor about him, you know. The Bible says God laughs and winks at the ignorance of the times that we're in. And I just have to believe that sometime God just laughs, you know, especially at some of the things children do. Children are, you know, children are so innocently funny. They just really are. I up in Michigan one night, and this little boy up there, and he's 3 years old, and he went out in the street that day, and his mother went out there and got him and whipped him all the way back to the house, just what he needed. That night he got down to pray with his granddad, and his granddad was telling me this later, and he said, "We got down to pray," and he said, this little fellow looked up and he said, "Dear Lord," he said, "whatever you do, don't go out in the street." I just have to believe God chuckles about some of those things. I was up in Michigan one night and having a testimony meeting, and a little black guy stood up, just a great big grin on his face, maybe 10 or 11 years old, and he just smiling, and them, his teeth were just shining, and he said, "I ain't no whiz, but all I is his." And you can't get any better than that, I guess. But it was kind of funny, but praise the Lord. John chapter 14, please. Would you look up and down your row and see if you see somebody without a Bible? And if you do, would you hand them yours? And maybe you could look on with somebody else, and that way everyone would have a copy of the Word of God. Father, tonight now as we come to your Word, we come to you because you're the author of it. And we ask you tonight in Jesus' holy name that you would speak to our hearts. Take the thoughts and the cares of the world away from us just now. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'd not only enable me to preach, but you'd enable others to hear what is being said. Oh God, may hearts be open and may the word fall upon good ground. May some be saved. May some be drawn close. May some young man be called to preach. Some young lady called to the mission field. Some couple surrender to go for you. I pray you would in Jesus' name. Amen. In John 14, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. Today we've got so many people with troubled hearts. People on every hand. Doctor friends of mine that are Christians tell me they have never even come close as they do today to dispensing so many tranquilizers. People's hearts are troubled. They're fearful. They're afraid. They're stressed out. They're anxious about everything. Let me say to you tonight that God said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. God doesn't want you to have a troubled heart. You know, Ms. Williams had gone into the coma and was in the hospital there in Virginia. And she'd been in the coma, I guess, a couple of days. And some young person from one of the Bible colleges called the hospital and asked for me. And I was talking to him. And I said something sort of funny to him. And he said, "Preacher, how can you still be funny with Ms. Williams lying so near death?" And I said, "Well, you know, David, my God isn't sick." And, you know, it's a wonderful thing that God isn't going to get sick. I like what S.M. Lockridge, the black preacher from San Diego, said. You know, black preachers just can say things a little uniquely. He said, you know, he said, "You can't fire him and he ain't going to quit." And I like that. You know, and you can't impeach him. And you know, there ain't going to be an election in 3 or 4 years or 2 years to find out if he's still God or not. He's God from now on. And he isn't going to run out of money. He isn't going to get sick. He never gets tired. He never sleeps. He that keepeth Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't even bat an eye. And you know, the devil will come to my motel room sometime after I get through preaching, and he'll say, "Tom, I'm just going to kill you. I'm tired of you preaching the blood and preaching about Jesus, and I'm just going to kill you. Just go to sleep. As soon as you get to sleep, I'm going to kill you." I said, "I don't know how you're going to do that when my father don't sleep." You know, I sleep, but my father don't sleep. And he don't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He doesn't bat an eye. He doesn't nod his head. He doesn't ever take a day off. I like what Janine prayed. We were praying together the other day, and she said, "Lord, I'm sure glad you don't have an answering machine." Amen. I like that. I thank God. I don't ever get an answering machine when I call heaven. And I never had thought of it that way, but I sure do like that. Amen. You know, I just say to you tonight, God said, not the president, but God. God said, let not your heart be troubled. Now, somebody else said that might not mean much. If I came to you and said that, you'd say, "That's all right for you, preacher. If your heart don't get trouble, that's fine. But don't tell me about mine. I got problems, buddy." But it's God that said it, not me. God said, teenager, let not your heart be troubled. You don't have to have a troubled heart tonight. Well, you say, "You don't know what I live in." No, I don't, but God does. You say, "Well, you don't know my mom and dad." No, but God does. You say, "Well, you don't know my friends." No, but God does. You say, "You don't know what I've done in my life." No, but God does. And see, you can't tell me something God doesn't know. And you can't tell me something God can't fix. He can. He's God. He's God, and he's sovereign. And he sits in his heaven tonight, and he says that I can do anything. Anything I can do. Anything too hard for God? Nope, not anything too hard for the Lord. And here he said, let not your heart be troubled. And then he said this, you believe in God. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in God? Do you believe there's a God tonight? Do you believe tonight that he sits sovereign in the heavens? Do you believe in the God that created the heavens and the earth? I mean, just simply spoke and they were. I mean, the earth was without void and without form. And the Spirit moved upon the face of the deep, and God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light, and on and on and on and on. And God created every animal, and God created the grass, and God created the trees, and God created the lakes and the seas, and God made the world, and God made all the animals in the world, and God made man then to rule over the world and to rule over the animal kingdom. And he made man, and man was nothing but clay. He was just a piece of clay. He had clay heart and clay lungs and clay liver and clay kidneys. And he had clay feet and clay eyes and clay blood. I mean, if you're made out of clay, you're clay, brother. You know, and that's all he was. Just a chunk of clay. And God bent over him, the Bible says, and blew his breath up the nostrils of man. And man became a living soul. And all of a sudden, that clay turned to life. And there was blood coursing through its veins, and the eyes could see, and the ears could hear, and the mind could think, and the man got up and walked around. And you say, but preacher, that's millions of years. No, it wasn't. The world's about 6,000 years old. And you say, well, but how come it looks so old then? Well, God made it look old. If you read the book of 1 Peter, he said he created it with age. If you'd have seen Adam 1 minute after God created him, you'd have said, that guy's 30, 35 years old. No, he isn't. He's 1 minute old. He's 1 minute old. He's got hair under his arm, hair on his legs. He's a grown man. No, but he's 1 minute old. If you'd have gone over and seen the trees that God made and cut them down, they'd have had circles in them showing they were hundreds and hundreds of years old, but they weren't. They were 1 minute old. The rocks had moss on them. The clays had stalactites and stalagmites in them. And God created, it says in 1 Peter, a world with the appearance of age. And you say, well, why aren't there dinosaurs today, preacher? If God created the world, where did the dinosaurs come from? Came from the hand of God. That's where they came from. Do you know anything about reptiles? Reptiles grow as long as they live. Anybody knows that, knows anything? Snake never quits growing. Alligators never quit growing. Well, you say, well, why don't we have tyrannosaurs and dinosaurs and all the other saurs today? Well, because they don't live very long anymore. Like man doesn't live very long. Adam lived 930 years. Can you imagine a lizard, 930 years old, how big he'd be? He'd be a rhinoceros. That's what he'd be. That's why you don't have any dinosaurs today. Lizards die young like men die young. Alligators die young like men die young. Sure. Sure. They found a rhinoceros while back in a frozen bank in Africa, 24 feet at the shoulder. 24 feet at the shoulder. They found an octopus on the beach in 1920 in California, 200 feet from one side of his tentacles to the other side of his tentacles. Sure. Why don't we have animals like that showing up today? Well, they didn't have motor launches crossing the ocean. They had sailing boats, and they sailed by, and these big things that lived in the ocean came up because they sailed by. But today, with those big screws making all that noise, they don't ever show up anymore. Listen, let me tell you something. Why did people live so long? Because God created under double atmospheric pressure. Sure, he said God created the world, and he took the water down here on the earth and put it in seas, and he took the same amount of water and put it up above the air. So there was a canopy of water between man and the sun. So when the sun shines through water, it loses its gamma rays, its X-rays, and its infrared rays, and those are the rays that kill you and me. That's why you and I have wrinkles. That's why we get old. Those are the rays that kill us. And they couldn't come. They couldn't get to Adam, and they couldn't get to Methuselah, and they couldn't get to anybody on this side of the flood of Noah. And when God got ready to drown the world, what did he do? The Bible said he pushed windows in heaven, and he used that water that he had up there to come down on earth and drown the earth. Now let me tell you something. Under double atmospheric pressure, things live long, long time, and amazing things happen. There's a man in Japan right now. He's created invented a greenhouse that's made with double atmospheric pressure. He's got tomato plants 17 feet tall. Got over 7,000 tomatoes on each plant. Do you remember little Kathy Fiscus who fell in the well in Texas and the whole world watched and listened? Sure, when she fell in, what happened? This leg came upside her head like this. And she went down the tube like with one leg up here and one leg down. And she was in there 72 hours. And when they took her out, finally, miraculously got her out, that leg was as black as the ace of spades. And they said, cut it off. And one of the men standing there said, no, rush her to Midland, Texas, where there's a double atmospheric chamber. And I want to show you what happens under double atmospheric pressure. And they flew little Kathy Fiscus to Midland, Texas, and they put her in that double atmospheric chamber. And in 3 days, all they had to do was remove the edge of her little toe. The leg was completely revived. Wow. It's amazing what happens under double atmospheric pressure. Listen, let me tell you something now. God created. Yeah. You say, what about evolution? Evolution's a lie. Yeah. Evolution's a lie. They don't need a missing link. They need a chain. Yeah. Let me tell you something. They don't have anything. They don't have anything. I'm just asking you tonight, do you believe in God?
Yes.
I mean, do you believe in God down at work? It's easy to believe in God here in church. I'm asking, down where you work, do you believe in God? Down where you go to school, do you believe in God?
Yes.
Down where the kids laugh and down where the professors poke fun, do you believe in God?
Yes.
I mean, do you really believe there's a God tonight?
Yes.
If you do, then you don't have to have a troubled heart.
Amen.
Are you a newspaper Christian or a Bible Christian?
Amen.
If you're a newspaper Christian, you live in constant fear. But if you're a Bible Christian, then nothing has to bother you. Nothing has to bother you. I will keep him in peace whose mind is stayed on me. Now, secondly, notice, he said, if you believe in God, believe in me. Believe in me. Do you believe Jesus Christ is God?
Amen.
You know what Nicodemus said? Nicodemus said, thou art a man that God is with. No, 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 Nicodemus. That's not true. He's not a man God is with. He's a man that is God. He's a man that is God. And there's an ocean between those two. You see, that's why the Muslims, they list Jesus right in the same list with Muhammad. And they say Muhammad and Jesus and Confucius, and they name off a few other. No, no, no. He's not in that list.
Right.
Well, you say, is he the only one that's right? You got it.
Amen.
You got it. You say, that's pretty narrow, preacher. That's right.
Amen.
just as narrow as the phone company. Boy, the phone company's narrow, isn't it? I mean, you got to get all seven digits right. Six out of seven ought to be plenty. You just get one wrong and you won't, I tell you, lay no telling who you'll get a hold of. There was a song came out in the 1950s, 2 cents, 3 eggs, and a postcard. All that I have to my name. 2 cents, 3 eggs, and a postcard is all I have to my name. And this one guy heard it, and he liked it, and he dialed the phone, and he thought he got the record shop, and he didn't, but he thought he did, and he said, "Do you have 2 cents, 3 eggs, and a postcard?" And the guy said, "No, but I have a wife and 12 kids. And he said, "Is that a record?" And he said, "No, but it's a fair average." But that's what happens when you just get one number wrong. That's what happens when you see, because the phone company is so narrow-minded. Now, why don't you go down there and stand in front of the phone company and say, "Bigot, bigot, 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 bigot." But all of a sudden, when God gets narrow, you say, "I don't think that's right. I don't think that's right." The Bible says, "Straight is the way, and narrow, narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that enter in thereat." Let me say to you tonight, listen, dear friend, Jesus said, "You believe in God? Then believe me. Believe me." See, the Jews understood that he was God. They took up a stone to stone him. He said, "For what work dost thou stone me?" And they said, "For no work do we stone thee, but thou being a man makest thyself God." Let me tell you, in Hebrews 1:8 that Janine quoted last night, God said to the Son, "Oh God." God called him God in verse 8 of Hebrews 1. That's why in Hebrews 1 he's better than angels. That's why in Hebrews 2 he's better than Moses. That's why in Hebrews 3 he's better than Joshua. That's why in Hebrews 4 he's better than Melchizedek. That's why in Hebrews 7, my friend, he's better than Aaron. On and on and on and on. You see, because he's better, because he's God wrapped in human flesh. Amen. Did you ever eat chili con carne? You know what that means? That means chili with meat. Con carne means with meat. That's the same word that we get our word incarnate from. God in con carne. You know what it literally says in the Greek? God in meat. That's who Jesus was. He was God wrapped up with human meat around him so that you could look at him. So you could see it. So you could see it. He came down and veiled himself, tabernacled himself in human flesh so you could see it. That's why he could say, "I and my Father are one." That's why he could say, "He that has seen me, Thomas, has seen the Father." Now, my friend, tonight, that's why every cult is wrong. That's why every religion is wrong. Except you believe that he's God, you'll die in your sins. That's what's wrong with the lodges down here in town. That's what's wrong, my friend, with all the fraternities in the world. They don't believe Jesus is God. You want to get on the battlefield? Then you just start talking about Jesus being God, and you're on the battlefield. Boy, you can go down here at the lodge and talk about God. You can go down here at the University of Indiana and talk about God. But you just go down and start talking about Jesus being God. Then you're on the battlefield. That's where it all starts. Oh, listen to me tonight. Listen to me. He said, "You believe in God? Then believe in me." Do you believe Jesus is God? Amen. Very God, a very God? You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. Wait a minute, wait a minute. How can God be God and Jesus be God and the Spirit be God?" That's easy. Did you ever see it snow? Did you ever see it hail? Do you know what hail's made out of? Water. Do you know what snow's made out of? Water. Do you know what water's made out of? Water. Water is water, snow is water, and ice is water. And ice is no more water than snow or water, and water is no more water than snow or ice, and snow is no more water than water or ice is. One's just as much water as the other, but they're in three distinct forms, and every one of them is the same amount of water. Did you ever notice everything God made, he made in the Trinity? The tree has a leaf and a limb and a trunk. My friend, the egg has a white and a yolk and a shell. How many lights in the heavens? Sun, moon, and stars. How many things fall from the sky? Snow, hail, and water. Well, how many elements are they? Sky, land, and sea.
On and on and on and on. God, that's why God said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, He said, O man, thou art without excuse, for even from the creation the Godhead is visible. Even the Trinity is visible from what God made. What is man? A tripart being, body, soul, and spirit. Everything God made, He made in a Trinity. So you can know that He's a triune being. You believe He's God? You believe in God? Then He said, believe in me. He said, if you believe in God and believe in me, you don't need a troubled heart. You don't have to have a troubled heart. And then notice what He said. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you it wasn't so. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, if it wasn't so, I'd have told you it wasn't so. But it is so. In my Father's house are many mansions. And they're all in the same house. Amen. Bless God, one of these days we're going to get along. Yes, you may not like me now, but you're going to like me in heaven or you ain't going. Yeah, we're going to get along in glory. Yeah, we're going to all live in the same house. Mother-in-laws, everybody. Live in the same house. Same house. Brother-in-laws, in-laws, son-in-laws, outlaws. Going to live in the same house. In my Father's house are many mansions, and they all in the same house. Oh, there's a land called heaven tonight. There's a land called heaven tonight. It's as real as Indiana. It's as real, my friend, as Linton. It's as real as Jasonville. There's a land called heaven tonight, teenager. There's a land called heaven tonight, mom and dad. There's a land called heaven tonight, boys and girls. Oh, tonight, let me ask you, do you believe there's a heaven? Do you believe there's a land of unclouded sky? Do you believe there's a land where we never grow old? Do you believe there's a land tonight, dear friend, where the streets are gold and every several gate is of one giant pearl? Do you believe tonight there's a heaven where God sits on His throne and a river pure as a crystal flows from beneath that throne? And my friend, that forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever we'll be with God?
Amen.
Do you believe there's a heaven? I'll find out if you do. How long has it been since you told somebody about it? Huh? Do you know what I believe you believe? I've been an evangelist 35 years. Do you know what I believe you believe? What you practice. Don't come and tell me you believe in tithing if you don't tithe. Don't tell me you believe in soul winning if you don't go. I believe you believe what you practice. Listen tonight. How long been since you told somebody about heaven? Did you spend any time thinking about it today? Paul said our citizenship papers are there. Paul said from whence we have our conversation. Abraham said, confessed, I'm a pilgrim. I'm just passing through. Abraham confessed, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. And he didn't have a page of this Bible, and yet he talked about heaven. Talked about the foundations, not one, but many, he said. Whose foundations in the book of Revelation clears it up for us and tells us there's 12 foundations in heaven. Do you believe there's a heaven? Really? Do you talk about it? Do you know anything about it? Do you know where it is? Why, you say it's up. That gets a little vague. If you go to Australia tonight and point up, you'll be pointing down up here. See, up to us is up, but our up to them is down, and their down to us is up. No, the Bible tells you where heaven is. It's in the north. Any navigator will tell you, no matter where you stand on this ball and look north, you look up. Heaven is up, but it's up in a particular place. It's in the north. The scientists tell us tonight with their most powerful telescopes that all over the heavens the stars appear so thick that if you run a car up through the heavens, it'd rip the fenders off. But out behind the northern star, there's nothing. And there's a great void out behind the northern star. Hey, I could have told them that. If they'd have read the oldest book in the Bible, they'd have known that. That's the book of Job. If they'd have read chapter 26 and verse 7, it says, and out behind the north is nothing. It said, and God stretched the north over the empty place. But with their most powerful telescopes, they tell us out behind the northern star tonight, there's a great void and there's something moving out there, but they don't know what it is. I know what it is. Read the book of the Revelation. John said, I saw the holy city descending.
Yes.
It's on its way down, folks. Amen. It's been coming down for 2,000 years. It's descending, John said. It's on its way here. As a bride adorned for the groom. See, there's a city tonight in the land called heaven. That city is called the New Jerusalem. We're going to live in a land called heaven, but we're going to live in a city called the New Jerusalem. It's 1,500 miles tall, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles long. That's the size of the city. You imagine a city tonight 1,500 miles tall? Do you ever want to live on stream frontage? Every mansion in heaven has stream frontage. See, how do you know that? The Bible says in the book of Isaiah, there's a river whose streams will make glad the city of God. There's a river in heaven whose streams will make glad the city of God. And there's going to be a stream flowing down every street in heaven. And they're going to start up at the top and start pouring back and forth and up and down, down through that 1,500 mile high city, 1,500 miles, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide. And that's where God's children are going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you believe that? Huh? Then why don't you talk about it? Why don't you tell your neighbors? Why don't you tell your loved ones? Man, you know, it's amazing to me. People get a new car in church and they get here 15 minutes early every day. So people see who are getting out of it. Last one to leave, just sort of stand out there by it. And you own a mansion in heaven, you ain't talking about it? You own a mansion in glory, you're not singing about it? Oh, God help us tonight. Do we believe that? See, if you believe in heaven, you don't have to have a troubled heart. Yeah, it's like that little old girl. She's sitting on this old porch of this old house about to fall down, and she is playing with a little old doll whose dress was wore out and whose face was muddy and greasy, and this man came by, and he said, don't you ever wish you had something better? Oh, she said, I do. I've got a mansion. Just over the hilltop. And that man wrote the song then, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Oh, listen tonight. Do you have a mansion in heaven? Is there one prepared for you? See, it's a prepared place for a prepared people. Won't be any empty buildings in heaven. There won't be one mansion that somebody didn't show up for. No, it's a prepared city. Is your name on one of the doors? Is it? Is it? And then notice the Lord Jesus said, my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. Do you believe in the second coming? Do you really believe tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with the shout of the archangel? Oh, do you believe with the trump of God he's going to come and the dead in Christ are going to rise first and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with him and meet him in the air and given a glorified body and so shall we ever be with the Lord? Do you believe that? Did you look for him today? Be honest, did you look for him today? Did you think sometime during this day he might come? Did you? Did you know if you live like that, you'll talk about him? Yeah, if you live, I promise you, if you live like he's coming, you'll talk about it. You'll talk about his coming. You'll talk about him coming. He's coming, see? He's coming. He's coming. Oh, the signs are everywhere. He's coming. Do you read USA Today? You've been watching that new money in there? Did you see where they showed us the new money we're going to get just about the first of next year? Yeah, the Treasury Department has it all printed. They're going to start collecting $100 bills first because they say those are the easiest to counterfeit. So they're going to get those. And they're using it all this new money scheme to get all your money. And you want me to tell you something? You're already a number. Hey. You know what my number is? I've got a number. 457-509-714. I can't buy without it. Huh? Won't be long till I can't. Do you know I can't get a driver's license without it? Do you know I can't buy a car without it? Do you know I can't make a bank loan without it? Huh? Just try. Just try. It's called Social Security. You know, when I go to Romania and when I go to Australia and when I go to the Holy Land, you know what they want? They want my Social Security number on my passport. And when I get over in Israel and they want to check on me, they just dial 457-509-714 back in America. And it says Tom Williams, 309 Meadow Lane, Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Yeah. Yeah. Could I tell you how smart man has become tonight? You see that quarter right there? They can take a computer chip the size of a quarter and write all 250 million Americans' names on there and their address and their political preference and their religious belief. All 250 million Americans on one computer chip the size of a quarter? The Bible says there'll come a time when you can't buy without your number. They'll put it on your forehead or in your right hand. If you don't have a right hand, they'll put it in your forehead. Huh? Yeah, and the government's just going to check out your credit. When you walk through the grocery store, they'll just scan your hand. And it'll okay your credit or turn it down. Do you know what trips every scanner in America? Every scanner right down here in the grocery stores in the little town of Linton? Do you know what trips them? Do you know what trips every scanner in the world? 666. You know those little barcodes on the back of everything you buy, son? 666. That's the code number on the back of every bottle of soda pop, on every ice cream bar, on every grocery item. There'll be a man come on the scene. You know what his number is? 666. You know what Time Magazine called him? They said, let's find us a president of planet Earth. And you know what? I didn't call him that. Wasn't some religious magazine. Time Magazine said his name will be Mr. Six. Yeah. Hey, I'm just telling you, Jesus said, if I go away, I'm coming.
Yes,
yeah, he is. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He said, when you see earthquakes in diverse places, I'm coming. That means different places where they've never been. They're having them all the time. Do you know there's been more earthquakes since 1970 than there have been in all the history of the world, and every major earthquake's been recorded since 1400 A.D.? Did you know the world is changing? Weather's changing. Everything's changing. You know why it's changing? Because the world is slowing down every year in its axis. It slows down so many seconds. And as it does, it's straightening back up. That's why the equator's drying up thousands of acres around the equator every year. That's why the Sahara Desert is gobbling up desert by the thousands of acres every year. That's why the rain seasons are changing and the cold seasons are changing. It's because the earth is straightening back up. And when it tilts up straight on its axis, guess what? It's going to be just like it was when God created it. And all the animals are going to return to eating straw just like they did in the beginning. I'm just telling you, he's coming. You say, they said that 100 years ago, preacher. Yeah, we're 100 years closer than they were. Hey, go out here and listen to the rock and roll music tonight. You know what it's all about? End time. Yeah, go listen to it. Hey, AC/DC, you know what that stands for, kids? Sure. Antichrist, devil's child. Go look it up. Hey, I didn't name them. They named themselves. Antichrist, devil's child. Go look at all the movies Hollywood's producing tonight. The apocalypse. On and on and on. About the end times. Hey, the world's smarter than we are. They know it can't go on. They know the world can't keep on like it is. It's got to come to a halt. And it is. It is. It is. He's coming. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I mean, sure enough. Do you believe it? Sure enough. He's coming. Then notice what it says. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way. Not two ways, one way. Not 10 ways, one way. Not 40 ways, one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. None other name given amongst men unto heaven whereby we must be saved except Jesus. That's the only name that has any power tonight to save anybody. That's the only way you can get saved. If you weigh of the cross you miss, you'll never get sight of the gates of light. You've got to come by Christ. I'm one door and only one. The Bible said in John 10:9, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, if you don't believe I'm he, you'll die in your sins. He's the only way. He's the only way. You say, what about all the other religions? They're wrong. They're just wrong. Tonight, he's the way, the truth, and the life. He's not part of the truth, he's it. He's not part of the way, he's it. He's not part of the life, he's it. And tonight, you've got to come by him. Do you believe that? Do you believe there's no other way except Jesus? Huh? Then we need to start telling folks that. Because they think they have a way too. Yeah, they're sincere. Listen, hey, when the Hindus will stick their finger to their hand and let that finger grow up through their hand and bend their fingernail over and go that way the rest of their life in order to escape damnation, they're sincere. When they'll hold their hand in the air until their arm grows stiff and walk around with one arm in the air the rest of their life, my friend, in order to escape damnation, they're sincere. When they'll lean over and kiss a cobra snake on the side of the face 3 times in order to escape damnation, when any kiss could mean instant death, they're sincere. I don't question their sincerity. I don't question their sincerity. But sincerity won't save you. Jesus saves. You say, but my daddy's a good man. My mom's a good man. A good woman. That's wonderful. But good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. There's just one way to be saved, friend. And that's through Jesus Christ the righteous. No other way to be saved. No other way to be saved except Christ. I was out knocking on doors up in Maine. And I went around there and I knocked on a fellow's door. And he came to the door and I said, I'm here to talk to you about Jesus. And he said, I'm Catholic. I said, would you mind just closing the door and letting me go back down the street and do this again? And he said, what? I said, would you mind just shutting your door and I'll go back down the street and come back and knock on your door again like I ain't never been here. I said, I guess. That's sort of crazy, but I guess so. So he shut the door, and I went back down the street about 20 feet, turned around, come back, knocked on the door. He opened the door, and I said, I'm a Catholic. He said, so what? I said, that's what God's going to tell you. Amen. Go to heaven and tell God you're a Masonic lodge. He don't care. You go to heaven and tell him you belong to the Odd Fellows. He don't care. You go to heaven and tell him you're a Baptist. He don't care. You go to heaven and tell him you're a Methodist or something else. That won't impress God a bit. Should I the gates of heaven appear and they ask me, what right have you here? Then this is my plea, and all that I need is Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
Friend, nothing else is going to impress God except that.
Amen.
Do you believe that? Boy, we sure talk about it then. We sure tell people about it then. Notice what he said then. He said, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you believe in prayer? He said here, he said, if ask anything in my Father's name, I'll do it. If you ask me anything, he said, ask anything in my name, I'll do it. Do you believe in prayer? Huh? Let me ask you a question. Would how much you prayed today convince anybody you believed in it? Huh? Do you know how much the average person sitting in front of me prays? 64 seconds a day. Do you know I got mom and dad sitting in front of me tonight? You'd work till your fingers dropped off to provide for your kids. But you don't spend 2 minutes a day naming them in front of God. The average parent spends less than 2 minutes a day praying about their children. I'm just asking you now, did how much you pray today, would that convince anybody you really believe it works? Would it? Would it? Do you really believe prayer works? Then why don't you pray? Huh? I wonder how many tonight could sing Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and really mean it? That you pray an hour a day? And it's sweet. It's sweet. Do you know the Bible says, my house shall be called a house of prayer? Did you know to write prayer, the house of prayer over most independent Baptist churches would be asinine? Did you know at our conferences we major on preaching, not praying? Did you know the Lord Jesus said men ought always to pray? Did you know the disciples didn't say, tell us, teach us to win souls, teach us to preach, teach us to memorize? They said, teach us to pray. You know why? They realized the importance of prayer. Do you know what the Bible says? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and preach? No, pray. Do you know what Peter said? We'll give ourselves to prayer. And to the ministry of the word. But prayer was first. Do you know why our pulpits are powerless today? Because men are prayerless.
Yeah.
I had young men all over the nation come to me and said, Dr. Williams, if you could recommend one thing to a young man, what would you recommend? And I'd say, son, you don't want to know. Yes, I want to know, preacher. And I said, no, you don't. I said, no, you don't. You won't do it anyway. Yes, I will. I said, learn to pray. Oh. Oh. See, they want me to tell them to build a big library. They want me to tell them to buy 1,000 books. They want me to tell them to knock on 100 doors. No, the greatest thing you'll ever do is pray. And I say it as lovingly as I can say it, till you've prayed, you've done nothing. If you don't get God involved in it, all your labor's in vain. We've got to pray. We've got to come back to where we believe in prayer. We call Wednesday night prayer meeting. That's a joke. We come down here and preach 20 or 30 minutes. We come down here and sing another 10 or 15 minutes. Have a couple of minutes, stand up and lead in prayer and go home and say, I've been to prayer meeting. Who are you kidding? Huh? Where's the churches that still pray? Where's people that still pray? You know, God gave me a thought a while back. Who's going to pray when mama's gone? My old mother prayed. Man, I used to come in 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning so drunk I couldn't cross the living room floor. And you know who's sitting there? My old mama. Praying, God, help my boy. Who's going to pray when mama's gone? And notice, if you would please, he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Do you believe there's a Holy Ghost? Do you believe there's a Holy Ghost that indwells every believer? Then why don't you listen to him? Huh? When he tells you to witness, why don't you get your mouth open? When he tells you to give, why don't you get your wallet open? Huh? Do you know how people, I'm telling you, hundreds of people come to me and they say, Brother Williams, I just felt like saying amen tonight. I said, why didn't you? You know what the Bible calls that? That's a quenching of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, the Holy Ghost tell you, say amen, you say. Holy Ghost say hallelujah. You know why? You're afraid what old so-and-so behind you are going to think. Man, I love to preach in these black churches. They preach me to death. They went out in California, man, I was preaching along pretty good, and this old boy said, oh, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that? Directly, I was preaching along. He said, you got him? You got him? You got him in a corner. Don't let him out. Don't let him out. He said, grind on him, Reverend. Grind on him. Man, they about preached me to death. That's called home court advantage. You people cheer me on a little bit. You ain't heard no preaching yet. You know, you same folks go down to the ball game and scream like a bunch of idiots. Come to church and say, huh? Well, I got 8 or 10 more points, but I better quit. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for your word. Lord, it's easy to see why you could say to us, let not your heart be troubled. If we just believe in you, believe in your Son, believe in prayer, believe in heaven, believe in the Holy Ghost, believe you're coming, we wouldn't have to be troubled. This old world don't hold any fear for the fellow that really believes that, really lives like it, really prays, really looks for your coming, really holds on to the book. Oh, dear God, tonight, speak, Lord, I pray. Help your people to really believe it. Believe it enough to do it. Believe it enough to do it. Please, our Father, please, I pray you will, in Jesus' name.